Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guests for this segment are Alberto Ayala and Eric Guerra of the Sacramento Metropolitan Air District. Eric's also doing double duty because he serves on the city council as well. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
What is the primary function of the Sac Metro Air District?
Well, Doug, just like our cities are responsible for keeping public safety or our water and streets moving, the Air District is one of those government entities that ensure and are completely focused on the public health and that in the air quality of our region. It's both counties and cities, and we work together to move outside of political boundaries to address the public health and specifically our air quality.
And the one thing I'll add, in the U.S., environmental protection is split responsibility at three levels of government. You've got the federal government, the U.S. EPA, at the state level agencies, and then you've got at the regional and local level agencies like our air district. And we each have specific responsibilities when it comes to air quality, controlling of air pollution, et cetera. So that's really the role that we play. We are the air agency in Sacramento County.
Everybody teaming up to make sure we've got clean air to breathe. Speaking of which, how's the air quality in the Sacramento area?
Traditionally, in the winter time, the biggest concern from an air pollution standpoint is what we call particulate matter, PM, or particle pollution. That comes from burning wood or, you know, a number of sources, including driving around, of course.
Right.
At the moment, as we would expect, the air quality is in the moderate range, which means it's not as good as we should have it, but also it's not as bad as it can get when, for example, we experience the impact from wildfires.
Boy, I'll tell you, we know all about air quality after the last couple of fire seasons we've had.
Those fire seasons was a big wake-up call for all of us on how we have to work together. So not only as cities and counties, I chair the air district as a member from the city of Sacramento, but we have county supervisors on our board too. And we work with our neighboring air districts as well, Yolo, Sutter, and Solano, because something that may happen up in the mountains will come and affect all of the valley area as well. It really is a united effort to ensure that all of us can have clean air to breathe.
I lived in Reno for a few years, and that's kind of a bowl, and it was amazing how all of a sudden, I mean, you would look and you could actually see the air settling into the bowl.
Yeah, that is an interesting example. Reno, as you mentioned, they sort of sit in a topography that is similar to the valley here. And even though they are at a higher elevation than we are, they definitely see some of the similar air pollution problems that we see down here in the valley. And clearly, they've had their share of impacts from, unfortunately, wildfires as well.
Right. I live in Auburn, too, and it's always ironic when I'm driving down Interstate 80. They call it above the fog where we are, and it's also sometimes above the smoke, if we're lucky. But then, of course, you can see when you get to about Roseville, and of course, this time of year, we're dealing with some fog, too, and it's the same thing where smoke, fog, all that stuff, the elevation matters.
It does, and you know, that's an interesting perspective because when we've gone up to go snowboarding or skiing with my family, when you're coming back down the hill, you see the fog, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, even without forest fires, the normal operations of day-to-day life are what create that level of both smog and particulate matter in the air that affects daily people. Every day you wake up, every day you walk out the door. And that's the critical role of the air district, is to get at the day-to-day impacts of air quality. Most of them, in fact, get more intense the closer you are to, say, freeways or sources of pollution. They may be manufacturing locations as well, and that's exactly why the air district works with our employers to ensure that we keep as much of that air pollution and particulate matters under control. But the number one source of air pollution is us moving around in our vehicles every day. Dr. Ayala, before this, working along with the EPA, and we were fortunate enough to recruit him and steal him over here to Sacramento to help us with addressing that issue.
Excellent. Nice to have you along, Dr. Ayala. What are some of the other biggest sources of air pollution other than us driving cars and staying warm and that kind of stuff?
In general, any activity that depends on the use of fossil fuels, cars, equipment, even gas lawn mowers, all of those are important sources of air pollution. And obviously, each one of those categories contributes to total air pollution to a different extent. As Councilmember Guerra just alluded to, by far the biggest source of emissions is our driving. Why? Because simply there's just so many of us driving around in so many cars, right? I mean, it's not to say that on a per vehicle basis, cars are necessarily extremely dirty. I mean, they've gotten much cleaner over the years. There's just so many, right? And you know, before the lockdown and the pandemic, we like to drive around a lot. And actually, even at this point, in the tail end of the pandemic, you begin to see the rebound of lots of cars on the freeways around. And unfortunately, we still live in a world that is heavily dependent on petroleum for mobility, and that's the biggest source. But in general, anything that burns is certainly going to contribute to some degree to air pollution that we have to control because it's the federal law.
Well, it's a good thing you guys are on the case. And speaking of which, what is the Sacramento Air District doing to improve the air we breathe?
Taking multiple approaches here. Obviously, we have the regulatory approach where we work with our local manufacturers, our construction companies to ensure that we can manage the day-to-day life and operation. It really is about rethinking how we plan for the future. We just released the purchase of new school buses for the Twin Rivers Unified School District. It is now the largest electric school bus fleet in the nation here in Sacramento. That's the air pollution that was affecting our kids who are picked up every day and the people that live around the bus routes. So thinking about, okay, what are we doing about our fleets? The other thing is, how can this be an economic boom for our region too? So can we look at recruiting the development of zero-emission technologies? And Sacramento is the center of the California Mobility Center, where we're going to be looking at research and development and getting to market products that address zero emission technology when it comes to mobility. So those are just some aspects there. And Dr. Yala's got a whole team of scientists who have a lot of great ideas, right, Doctor?
That's for sure. Yeah, we've got a fairly complete portfolio of programs. But it's interesting. I'll go in a different direction, Doug, because you asked, what is the Air District doing for air quality? And Council Member, our board chair, answered the question specifically in terms of our program. But since we are on a radio interview, one of the roles that we play as the air agency in Sacramento County is really to take advantage of opportunities like what we're doing right now to communicate to listeners and to communicate to the public that we all have a role in improving our own air quality. Every car trip that you avoid and instead you use public transit or a bicycle or walk, it's a small but significant contribution to air quality. All of those things do matter because when you put them all together, they add up to all the pollution that we have to control. So a lot of what we do as an air agency beyond the rules, regulations, and programs is really play a social role, if you will, in terms of communication, in terms of conveying to the broader public how critically important it is for us to achieve the air quality standards for public health, but also for your own benefit, right? For your own health. I mean, that's really what's the bottom line.
Bringing that message down to the community, we had a meeting with one of the neighborhood associations in an area that's very working class and also has a high amount of emissions of particulate matter in the community. One of the messages we're trying to get out there is that cumulative effect as well. You may only mow your lawn once or twice a week, if you're like me, sometimes once a month. You think, well, this one lawnmower isn't causing any significant harm.
It's no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. But hundreds of lawnmowers every day, once a month, combined to that. And so I decided to switch over to an electric lawnmower. And if anything, my neighbors were shocked at how quiet it was. And not only that, I didn't have to run to the gas station to fill up a gas tank that sometimes leaks and I could smell it in my car.
Right.
You don't have to run out and buy an electric car. You can also try to think about, are there other patterns that you can choose other than just driving? I mean, of course, if you can, those are the things we're trying to encourage.
Well, I've got you beat on the lawnmower. Mine's a little louder than yours, but it's a push mower. So it, it makes a little noise, but zero emissions.
That's a good option.
Getting that exercise in, too.
Absolutely. It's a small yard, but I'm proud of it.
Council member, just hit on a really important note in terms of what is the strategy? What are we doing as an agency? One of the principal strategies that the state has been investing very heavily on, and I'm talking about billions of dollars today, is really on this near complete or complete electrification of anything and everything that we can.
Right.
And that speaks to the example of the school buses, obviously electric cars, lawnmowers. You're going to continue to see a group of agencies for the Sacramento region. We essentially are the implementers of many of those state-funded programs. And those are great because, again, they help individual consumers like you. I mean, if you want to partake, you likely get some incentive assistance from the state. And that's really the fastest way to get to cleaner technology because rules and regulations are very effective. But clearly, they take a long time, right? I mean, if you put in a regulation today, you've got to give time. And by the time that cleaner vehicle or equipment comes around, we've had years of pollution. But if you can convince somebody today that instead of a gas lawnmower to go a bush mower or an electric, the air quality benefit, the emission reduction is immediate. And we can actually track. I mean, science has evolved to the point where we can actually tell very clearly that things are moving in the right direction.
The other thing the district does, too, is it helps advise cities and counties on their planning. One of the challenges we have is we've built out our cities in a very suburban sprawl fashion, which sometimes cannot be conducive to walking or riding your bike to work. And so being able to advise and help in our general planning to make those options realistic. For example, before the pandemic and we shut down, I decided that I would make it a goal to ride my bike with my son to drop him off at childcare twice a week. And if I made it a goal at twice a week, I might get one in. But if I got two, then I might get three in. That cumulative effect of just a little bit that everybody does. Imagine once a day you didn't drive. That is already a 20% impact that you've reduced from your own action.
And that's it. People often think, oh, well, you know, it's just me. I'm not going to be able to make a difference. But every single person, if they decide to make that difference and take that one fewer car trips, that does make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
It does. It does.
You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guests this morning are Alberto Ayala and Eric Guerra of the Sacramento Air District. SpareTheAir.com. We've all been spending way too much time at home. How has the pandemic shelter-in-place affected our air quality? What can you tell us about that?
I was shocked at when Dr. Ayala's scientists showed satellite videos of parts of our country and shown how the air pollution dramatically changed.
The fact that vehicle use is such a big contributor to total air pollution, the fact that the lockdown essentially shut down vehicle use as well.
Right.
Not completely, but significantly. I mean, to levels that we haven't seen. There's a one-to-one correlation. You know, we were able to measure in ambient air a significant improvement of the lockdown. And, you know, what is really interesting, and again, this gets back to the role of communication and your listeners. A lot of people have reached out to us and say, hey, I see clean air. I can go for a walk. I can actually enjoy being outdoor without having to worry about pollution, no matter whether it's hot or cold, what have you. And the big question is, how can we go back to something more normal than before the pandemic, but do it in a way that we preserve the benefit? So that's really the crux right now. How do we move in the future with all the things that we talked about so that we enjoy good air quality and the benefits of the lockdown, if you will, the silver lining, and obviously get back to some activity, economic and otherwise, that looks more like normal life? You can rest assured that everybody's asking that question, right? And the solution is what we talked about. I mean, it's just basically, let's just reimagine a future where we don't have to be so dependent on fossil fuels that really are the source of pollution.
One thing we've learned during the pandemic is there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be working from home way more than there used to be.
For sure, even in our cities. And we realize there's a couple benefits. One, the loss of time for the commuter and the family life. If you're spending a lot of time on the roadway, you're not spending it with your family, you're not spending it planning your family future, you're not even spending cleaning your garage, which is still a task that I went on during the pandemic.
Right.
That loss of time on the road is one that's tragic, and you hear it from people in other regions where it could be 2 hours commute one way.
Right.
So I think that's the thing about this is learning from the experience of the pandemic. It's going to help us move forward. The other piece here is technology is helping us so much that we are looking at the realistic options of different mobility options. Right before the pandemic, we were looking at these electric bikes and electric scooters. And as difficult as change is, you know, and some people found it shocking to see all of a sudden these bikes or scooters floating around, and you learn from that. But it also increased the amount of people who said, I can walk a couple blocks to get a bike and then jump on that to work. You find different tools for different areas of our city in our region that work for that area. So we've learned a lot over the last few years here that I think are going to help us get through in the next upcoming years.
And the one thing I'll add, all those observations are right on target. We see some trends that just got accelerated, right? They got compressed to happen more quickly than expected because of the lockdown.
Right.
One role that we play as a government agency implementing the state and federal programs is also make sure that everybody can benefit from these changes, that we don't leave anybody behind. It's not a function of where you live or how much you make. And really, a lot of the state programs that we are contemplating at the moment are coming with specific requirements where you're supposed to be mindful of if it's a low-income individual or a participant, maybe they get a little more help. If it's people of color, et cetera, maybe you get a little more help. So a lot of what we are going to do going forward is really make sure that we don't leave anybody behind to benefit from these emerging trends.
The Biden-Harris administration has identified climate change as a top priority. What does that mean for our state and for the Sacramento region?
Oh, it's a huge boom, I think, you know, particularly that we have a vice president now that comes from California and understands the progressive leadership role we've been taking on this, but also not only just on the climate change, but on the equity issues and social justice issues. There's been a lot of conversation over the last year about families who are on the margin. I think that the resources that are going to come about for us to help people, particularly on the mobility options, the two major expenses for families are housing and transportation. If we can reduce the transportation costs for people by either supporting the public transit or rethinking public transit, figuring out how telecommuting becomes a better option, we save families money that they're spending on transportation costs. And the investments to clean up the communities who may live closer to freeways where they get a lot of that health impacts. I think those are some of the immediate things that I see are exciting. Dr. Yellow?
It's most definitely going to be a different day for the environment. I'm going to say something that is not meant to be a political statement. It's a fact. The outgoing EPA rolled back environmental protections. They lowered the protections on more than 80 different rules. You know, if you think of the big ones that get the news, protections for power plants, the requirements for power plants, the requirements for clean vehicles, et cetera. It was more than 80 rules that they specifically rolled back and lowered the protections. So you can see that a lot of what you're going to see from the new administration and all of us that work in this space is really to restore, frankly, the damage that was done, right? So we're going to be playing catch up as quickly as possible. And then also think of the future, right?
Right.
Aspire to be the green tech epicenter of the world, aspire to bring the green jobs, aspire to get to a point where we can actually protect the environment and the global climate. Not for us, because we're not going to see the worst effects. It's going to be those that come after us.
Our kids and our grandkids.
That's exactly the truth. Interestingly enough, as an elected official and as a member of the Air District, I was having a brief conversation off the cuff with a representative from one of the auto trade associations. Interestingly, they were also concerned about the last 4 years of changes to moving towards electrification on vehicles, where many of the automakers had already started investments in moving in those directions. And any industry, any employer in our city, whether small or large, when they make capital investments, they're planning for the long term and for the future. So as an air district and as a federal administration, a state administration, we also need to give better, clear, and I think visionary direction to all our industries about where we want to go as a healthy society. That is good planning, and that helps our business partners plan for the type of life we need. So it's all about all of us working together. And I think, if anything, what the Air District does do, because we do have a politically diverse county, is it brings representatives from different points of view to find one common cause. How do we maintain the public health of our neighbors, of our residents, and our constituents?
It doesn't matter what political party you belong to. We all like breathing clean air.
Yes, we do.
You touched on this a little bit, gentlemen. Sacramento is going to be the home for the new California Mobility Center. What is that all about?
Well, this is an exciting opportunity here that I was able to convince a few folks to go to Germany and look at a unique project, which was a public university working with private industry to find mobility and clean air solutions for their region in Aachen, Germany. So Dr. Ayala and I and a few members went out there. And fortunately, through the support of our local public utility provider that is interested in figuring out how they're going to meet the demands of the growth of electric vehicles, we're creating what will be the hub of manufacturing, of research and development, and finding new policies and technology solutions to address the challenges we face. How do we really tackle that fog that you see coming down the freeway? How do we really plan for our growth? And how do we create, most importantly, economic opportunity for our constituents? So that's what the Mobility Center is a concept of about. And Dr. Yala, having a public health official be part of this who has an expertise of an EPA, would you have ever thought, Dr. Yala, we would be in this location now?
No, that is a really good point. And again, it takes vision and leadership like you to really, again, inspire us to think of what could be if we work together. And certainly, the way I think about the Mobility Center is this way. It is most definitely a defining investment for the Sacramento region. So we're very appreciative of the SMOD being the founding sponsor for it. The Air District is going to be a participant, and we're going to help as much as we can. But there's so many other entities, in addition to our elected officials, that are really identifying this as a defining investment for the Sacramento region. And the way I think about it as a policymaker, as a public servant, as an air quality official, is this. Sacramento is the capital of the state of California, and California is so known for the environmental program, the environmental agenda. So many policies that are spread across the U.S. and the world have started here in Sacramento. So what better way to have this mobility center where you are going to imagine what it could be when it comes to new zero-emission innovative technology, and then also have us explore the connections to the policy decisions and the decisions that elected officials need to make sure that we create these new markets. And again, to have Sacramento be the place with our universities that are going to be the pipeline for new graduates to enter into this green economy. And of course, you know, the new administration is sort of underlining that this is the kind of development that we need. And again, to be happening here in Sacramento is just, it's just exciting. Looking forward to it.
The piece about it that I really find also exciting is that we've already started by training and recruiting in our low-income disadvantaged neighborhoods. We know we have a shortage of diversity in the technology force, so we've already started those kind of workforce training efforts. And having the public universities like Sacramento State and the University of California and Los Rios Community College District as partners in all of this, it really starts changing also the dialogue in our community about health. So back to the earlier message, what does the Air District do? It educates the public. One of the clear things we found in Aachen, Germany, when we went there, was when we talked to the business owners, to the constituents, the people who live there, they all believed in this idea of rethinking how technology helps their daily living. And I think that's an exciting thing to bring to Sacramento, where our employees, our neighbors are all thinking about how we're all working together to solve these solutions.
We could talk about this all day long. Very important subject, but believe it or not, we're out of time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Eric Guerra is a Sacramento City Council member and Sac Metro Air District Chair, and Dr. Alberto Ayala, Air Pollution Control Officer for the Sac Metro Air District. Online, sparetheair.com. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you so much.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, send the details to sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.